There is a lot happening in Chicago and a lot of news to keep up with. Instead of doom scrolling through it, listen to the Rundown podcast, where we sum up the news in less than 10 minutes every weekday, wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, Chicago, I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is In the Loop. Stick around for a breakdown of the top stories of the day. But first, Chicago Restaurant Week is back. It starts tomorrow, January 23rd, and it goes until February the 8th. And it's that time of year when hundreds of spots across the city and the suburbs roll out discounted prefix menus and give us all a very good excuse to eat out a little bit more than usual. Now, you can scroll through endless guides online, or you can just choose to keep listening to this episode. We'll get details to you on Chicago Restaurant Week and the best spots to dine from a pair of foodies. At the table was Maggie Hennessy, who's a Chicago food and drink writer who's written quite a few stories for WBEZ, and Mitch Grotman, who is a Chicago food subreddit moderator. Mitch started us off by explaining what Restaurant Week is for the folks in the back.
It's a good opportunity for people to try restaurants that might otherwise be a little bit out of their price range, having a shortened, discounted menu, either at the $45 or $60 range.
Mm-hmm. Or $30 for lunch.
Or $30 for lunch.
Yeah, if you're a midday diner.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, absolutely. What makes it a big deal for you, Maggie?
To be honest, I tend to avoid it. Ooh, and Mitch and I were discussing this before we came on, because for a lot of places, you don't really get a sense of what they're really about. Mm. It's sort of, we kind of described it a bit as like a dumbed down version, which is not to say that there's anything wrong with it, because I think for a lot of folks, sometimes it's more realistic to sort of say, like, let's knock off like five restaurants we would otherwise never go to.
Yes.
Which I'm supportive of. And, you know, for restaurants, this is a tough time. It tends to be slow and we have this bitter weather. So it is like a great, you know, sort of like,
yes,
let's get out, support our indie restaurants.
But there are mixed feelings about Chicago Restaurant Week. I will admit, my first time taking advantage of it, I think I prefer to eat at restaurants outside of this time, mm-hmm. to really, as you pointed out, get a sense of what they offer. I found I got a lot of little bite-sized things, and I was like, well, what is this place really about?
Yeah.
And what did I actually pay for? But I understand. Restaurants are benefiting from this, right? How would you say so?
I think so. I think it gets them on the radar. Like, I think a lot of folks come in from the suburbs.
Yes.
And
see, that's good.
And that's great. And it might get them to neighborhoods they normally wouldn't trek into, you know, and for new places, it can be a way, I think, or places that have been around a long time to sort of regenerate buzz about, you know, like sort of get people excited again. And I think one of the things I like that the Chicago Food subreddit has done is if you're like, you really want to gamify this and you're like, what's the best deal I can possibly get?
Right.
You know, you can do it. Like, there are people who are breaking this down as we speak in spreadsheet form, like lunch and dinner.
Oh, I love a good spreadsheet.
Here's like the comparable a la carte dishes and then what you get from the prefix. Here's how much you save. Here are the best values, which I'm really into for people who really want to hunt. I think that's kind of
cool.
Yeah,
it's usually one of the more popular posts on the subreddit every year. It's something that people look forward to. Sometimes people get impatient. They'll say, hey, where's the Restaurant Week spreadsheet?
Yes.
I'm ready to make my reservations.
Well, Mitch, before we get too deep into what you do, I want to peel it back just a little bit and help those folks listening right now that are like, Reddit? What's that? What would you say?
So for people that have no idea what Reddit is, it's a very, very popular online website. It's kind of like social media. It's kind of in a gray area in the social media world where every single topic you could possibly think of has a subreddit.
Mm-hmm.
And on that subreddit, people will post discussions or questions or pictures or videos of something related to that topic. Chicago Food has a subreddit. It's a lot bigger than people that don't know about Reddit would think. We get about 4 million monthly views.
Ooh.
I mean,
you know what? I'm not surprised because Chicagoans, they're serious when it comes to their food. They're pretty passionate about not just food, but good food, mm-hmm. right? So how did things start for you, for your subreddit community?
Yeah, so the subreddit was unmoderated for about 10 years. And then I posted a thread years ago where I tried 37 different fried chicken sandwiches in Chicago, and then I did a top 10.
Oh, wow. I mean, don't you love this? Like,
what
the work
assignment.
When it went he ate even more than that when it was all said and done.
Yeah, so the last one I did was 150 fried chicken sandwiches.
His doctor was like, you have to stop.
Yeah, my doctor did tell me to stop. And then I ignored him, and then I ate.
Dedication.
I ignored him, and then ate 200 French fries.
Wow. Okay. So how do people join this subreddit community?
All you have to do is go to reddit.com/r/ChicagoFood, and then you're there. You'll see a join button, and that will allow Chicago Food to be on your main page when you log on to Reddit.
Are there rules that they have to follow?
Yeah. We try really hard to keep it a place that's positive, where people can discuss food in a healthy way.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, do people start disagreeing?
You would not believe.
I've heard the most vile things said to other human beings over what the best pizza or hamburger
burger.
Is.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, tacos, like... rage comes out.
Yeah.
But I think that's what's cool about Reddit is it's so dependent on the moderator, because this is like Mitch logging tens of hours each week. And there are other moderators on Chicago Food subreddit. Are there five of you total?
There are five, kind of six. There's one guy who moved who like kind of lingers around.
Honorary,
like Chicago.
But it's sort of like this self-policing ecosystem where there's these rules of like, keep it relevant, keep it civil.
Keep it clean.
And like, don't just post sort of like a one-off, like, there's really encouragement to like be involved, like, and get in discussions. You can get rewarded for doing that with like, you know, they'll do events like a few times a year. And,
oh, nice.
And people who are really part of the community and engaged will get, there's incentive as well. So it's a really lovely forum, like unlike other sort of wild westy places on the internet.
Right.
You know, this one, I feel there's like a real engagement and genuinely people help each other. If someone throws up a question, like, I'm in this neighborhood, I just arrived.
Oh, that's great. And so people hop right in and answer. And I can see a little bit of why the tension may arise, because food reviews, correct me if I'm wrong, they're based a lot on opinions, right? And so is there a way to remain objective when you're giving your opinion on food? Like, how do you write for everyone?
Well, this is the interesting thing. I'm going to quickly jump in, and then I would love to hear Mitch's approach too, because I think what the food Reddit tends to do is it attracts people who are the sort of like gumshoeing, I'm going to eat every burger in this neighborhood, I'm going to eat at every talk. So, and that's sort of the approach, like when food publications had budget to send diners, and it was like, if you're going to review a restaurant, you need to go three times, you need to eat the entire menu. Mm-hmm. But the subreddit, food subreddit, is populated by people who are the types who want to order the whole menu so they can experience it. They want to go multiple times. They're not going to trash it if they go once and have a middling.
So you already have the right audience.
So in a way, it's like riding the ship where we've sort of been rudderless without, like, we've lost a lot of food critics. I was a restaurant critic for Time Out for years, and budgets just shrunk and shrunk. So in a way, this is kind of filling that gap, I think, for a lot of people. They feel like they can trust it because there's a lot of engagement and dedication.
How do you stay objective, Mitch? Well, or can you?
I try to tell people that there is no, I mean, with few exceptions, there's no objective truth to food. And like, what I eat is, that's just my opinion. And I try to couch all of my opinions that I share online in that. And like, this is just my experience, my opinion. You can do whatever you want with that information. Mm-hmm. I can be wrong. The whole thing could be wrong. But at least I can say, well, I did the work. I ate it every, you know, I do all these, you know, crazy food projects.
Right.
The last year I ate at every Michelin Bib Gourmand restaurant.
Wow.
And I did a top 10, and there were people in the comments who said, you know, I went to your number two spot. I thought it was horrible. And
because your posts, you're ranking different types of food. Yeah. And how are you deciding? You're just deciding based on what tasted good to you.
Exactly. Yeah. I said, I'm sorry you had a bad experience there. I'm just telling you my experience when I ate there. This is just what I experienced. Every restaurant is different every night. No restaurant in the world, in my opinion, is immune from having an off night. So I hope that people can keep those things in mind when they eat somewhere and they don't feel that they're their singular experience is all-encompassing.
You think about like a little indie-owned place if like one person doesn't show up and this perfect theater of like what, you know, everything goes off the way it should. And all of a sudden there's like a, you know, wrench in that and they have to scramble and we can't, we shouldn't know that that happened. But like, it's
we're
going
to be able to tell. Like,
yeah. I think you have to have a little more empathy, a little less rage.
What do you think it is, you know, we've talked about sort of the rage that comes with talking about food, but what is it about food that you think fosters connection? Because it does that too.
It does. I think it's a bit of a safer entry point for people to appreciate differences. It's something you can try and it'll open up. If you're curious, I think the important thing is, you know, to remain curious and not like come in like you know everything. But it can, you know, just one question, oh, I've never seen that kind of turnip before, but it's, you know, preserved a lot in a certain culture's cuisine. It will kind of pique your curiosity. And food is a great way because if you, or you could taste something like, wow, this chicken soup, this Korean chicken soup tastes like the chicken soup I had growing up, you know, but it's a little more bitter because they use the, like, so.
You start to find similarities.
Exactly. And I think those kinds of things are so much fun because you can talk about noodles versus pasta, like really get into a debate and like appreciate what they're made, you know, how they're made in different places.
Right.
And so there are these unifying elements. It's like every culture has like dragons in it. Every culture has a dumpling, you know, like these are magical things
so true.
That human beings share.
And you foster connections, Mitch. You host these real life events that Maggie alluded to. This is for your Reddit users. How do you choose the guests?
Yeah. So each year, Reddit has a program called Reddit Community Funds, where they will give communities up to $50,000 to put on some kind of event for their community. And I am shameless about me squeezing every single dollar I can get from Reddit. And so last year, we did a series of buyouts of some of the most requested restaurants in Chicago. So they're very expensive restaurants that are people in our community might otherwise not be able to get the opportunity to eat out at. For example, we did two full buyouts of Kyoten, which has a sticker price of $440 per person.
Wow.
So
and you did two full buyouts.
We did two full buyouts.
So cool.
Awesome.
So to give, you know, some of our best members the opportunity to eat there and have an amazing experience.
I wish I knew that was happening. I'm like, oh, coulda, shoulda, woulda. Yeah. Have you made any long-lasting connections? Like any just friends that are just, you came across through this avenue and you're buddies to this day?
Yeah. So I also, through this subreddit, run a private dining club. And through there, I mean, I've made a number of great friends and people that I've met through there have
That's wonderful.
Great friends. I mean, we had a group from there recently go to New Orleans on just a food trip. And they met through this Reddit dining club.
Wow.
And that's pay your own way. It's different from, like, you know, the community funds. It's Mitch started this as well through a little over 3 years ago now.
It'll be 4 years in May.
Wow. Yeah, time goes really
awesome.
Fast.
So we talked about folks disagreeing sometimes, but even if you disagree, Maggie, you recently wrote about soup.
Mm-hmm.
Something I personally feel everyone can agree is perfect, especially for days like this, right? Mm-hmm. These really cold winter days. What are some of your favorite soups around town?
I mean, this weekend when the temp is going to be zero, I will be at Barca Birrieria having menudo, which is only available on weekends. And they, like, the chef owners cook tripe in this beautiful concoction of lime and I think guajillo chilies, but it's top secret, I'm guessing. It and until it's, like, very, it's like, sort of spongy and delicious and very nourishing. I mean, if you've had a few cocktails the night before, it's a real, it will bring you back to life. And
ooh,
it comes
good
with
tip.
A pile of, like, bottomless, beautifully handmade pressed in front of you corn tortillas. It's absolutely delicious. I'm also probably going to be at Lao Peng Yu having their mushroom soup. Even if you're not vegetarian, even if you're not a mushroom fan, I defy you not to absolutely fall in love with this soup. It's so umami. There's like six kind of mushrooms just cooked down with toasted garlic. There's sesame oil. It has like that slick of red oil on top that just flings everywhere when you get a noodle. And it's heavenly. There's like springy Whittier mushrooms in there and watercress. It feels like, I think what I love about soup, and I know I've learned that Mitch is not a huge fan of soup, which is an amazing bit of trivia about Mitch. But for me, it feels like it can just bring you back to life if you're sick, if you're homesick, yes. if you, you know, just a
perfect.
Little. Yep.
I love soup.
Restorative.
Soup is such a wonderful comfort food for me. Mm. So restaurant week, do's and don'ts that you want to share with folks? Got any, Mitch?
Yeah. One thing I would really like to impress on people that are experiencing restaurant week is to think of it less of a representation of what a meal at this restaurant is and more of a way to try their cooking without paying that full menu price. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if you take a place like Boca that participates in Restaurant Week, they have a Michelin star, they have a $200 tasting menu. And then if you try to compare your $60 three-course meal that you have at Restaurant Week to their full experience, you're probably going to be disappointed. You might say, oh yeah, I went to Boca. I didn't think it was that good. Not saying that Boca isn't good. I actually think they probably have the most delicious Restaurant Week menu usually, in my opinion. So, but just try not to think of it as, oh yeah, I went to this restaurant and I got a full understanding of what their menu is, what their food is like.
Yes.
You got a taste of it, which is cool and there's value to that, but just try not to think of it as an all-encompassing experience.
So that was my mistake 3 years ago when I was like, what is this? And I've never been back. So now I'm going to go back. I'm going to give that, I will leave them unnamed, but I will go back. I'll give them another chance. Do's and don'ts from you, Maggie.
I would echo a lot of what Mitch said and what I brought with me actually in lieu of do's and don'ts is a few places that are newer to Restaurant Week.
Please share.
That might be kind of fun for folks to check
out. So far
out.
We know Mitch has Boca high on his hit list.
Okay, one I would recommend off the bat is Nadu in Lincoln Park, Regional
That's
Indian.
That's a new one, right?
Yes, it's new-ish.
And
they have, they have a set menu, but you're going to want to add, they have the optional Bene Masala Dosa. This is like a buttery, huge dosa, textural dream. Absolutely delicious. Mr. Tiger in Westtown, which does homestyle Korean cooking. They're newish and they're using the opportunity to do some cool pop-ups like and do introduce new cocktails. Dixie Pura Kitchen is new to Bronzeville. It's Southern and Southeast Asian cooking. They're brand new and they're like just getting going. So it would probably be cool. You might get a better sense of their overall menu.
That's great.
And then Lula Cafe for the first time is doing Restaurant Week this year.
Oh, is it their first time?
It is their first time. And
interesting.
The menu looks great. It's a lot of winter citrus. It's
really classic Lula.
Exactly.
So we got over 550 participating restaurants
easy
this
to
year.
Pick.
WBEZ's food and drink writer Maggie Hennessy and Chicago food subreddit moderator Mitch Grotman. Now you can find more information on Chicago Restaurant Week online at choosechicago.com. And you can hear more of what the locals think on reddit.com at r/ChicagoFood. That's where you find Mitch and his peeps. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, now it's time to get into the top local stories of the day. At the table to help me break them down, WBEZ Midday anchor Lisa Labas and WBEZ Arts and Culture reporter Courtney Kippers. Now we're currently under an extreme cold warning, so that's where the conversation begins. You made it in. It's cold.
It's cold.
Have you noticed? It's cold out there.
I did not.
You didn't notice?
Yes, it's cold.
It is so cold out there. I drove with the gloves on. Oh, I had my hood on. I have extra socks on.
You're so prepared.
I'm ready. Are you not, Lisa?
I mean,
you came in the dead of night this morning.
You know, I feel like this is like if you live in Texas in the summertime, this is sort of what we get. You know, you just go right from your house to the car.
It's just another January day in Chicago for you.
Yeah.
Well, do we have any guidance for people like what Lisa just described that just came from Texas?
No.
And don't know what to do?
Well, okay, that's a loaded question.
Bundle up. stay inside. I will say I was with some friends last week and one of them had battery powered hand warmers.
See, I've been hearing about these.
I did not know about these. I might be the last person. I know the old school ones you have to shake. They're one time use. These, you put some batteries in, you can put them in your mittens, you can put them in your pockets.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What? No, I.
The more you know.
Just layer, you know, layers, all the basic info, layers.
Layers. Right? And go inside. Stay inside. Yeah. If you don't have to be outside.
I'm going to leave a faucet dripping tonight, I will say.
Yes.
Oh. And I'm going to leave the cabinets open below my sink, allow that some more heat to get in there to the pipes.
Yes.
That's smart.
Very good tips.
You do
very
not want your pipes to freeze. So.
Well, Lisa, it looks like the extreme cold is affecting Metra lines
today. Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah. Okay. So when it gets this cold, Metra has to reduce speeds. I think their top speed is what I read is 79 miles an hour. That's your usual speed. But they have to reduce it to 65 miles per hour. This is called slow orders. And when it gets this cold out, the rails can shrink. The metal can actually shrink. And so the tracks could break, you know, or they become more brittle. They're more prone to cracking, especially at joint areas. So it's going to take you a little bit longer. It's also Metra is running a reduced schedule on all its lines. So you want to check out if you rely on Metra to get to and from anywhere, you can, it's going to be like weekend service tomorrow. So, you know, maybe stay home, but if you need to get on the train, you can find some severe weather schedules on Metra's website.
Yes. And warming centers around the region, I assume those are wide open.
Heck yeah. All the police stations 24/7. If you need a spot and, you know, park district locations, libraries open during regular business hours. Plus, there's a big warming center at a city service agency at, I believe it's 2010 or 20 South Kedzie. And you can check, you can call 311 for well-being checks. Check the City of Chicago website for more information.
Courtney, let's pivot now to some news out of City Hall. So the Chicago City Council has approved this measure that could overhaul the Congress Theater, which we know has been closed for years. What's happening, though?
Yeah, so City Council voted to give the green light to the city's planning department to go ahead and apply for this big federal loan, $25 million, that could potentially breathe new life back into that theater in Logan Square. Like you said, it's been closed for years. And these funds would be used not only to revitalize the theater, but also rehab some housing nearby for low-income renters and some economic development in the area. So it could be a big project, and the planning department told Block Club that they will likely go ahead and officially apply for that loan next week, and it could be as approved as soon as next month. So we'll see what is going to happen with this project, but as we know, Chicago has a lot of these old historic theaters, and it can be expensive to keep them up.
Oh, absolutely. I bet. More City Hall news, Lisa. The issue of a potential teen curfew. Guess what? It came up yet again. Give us the latest.
This is like the parking meter, you know. Like, we're going to do it. Oh, we're not going to do it. We're going to do the teen takeover curfew thing. Oh, we're not going to do it.
So give us the latest on that.
So, Alderman Brian Hopkins, you know, says, oh, here's what we should do. We should allow Police Superintendent Larry Snelling to be able to call curfew anywhere with 12 hours notice if, like, social media and other indications show that this big, any big teen gathering is brewing. And then he did a U-turn, changing his pitch to allow the police superintendent to issue a dispersal declaration if he believes three or more teens are likely to commit disorderly conduct. I have no idea how you figure this out.
Yeah.
I'm a little stumped, but he said Hopkins says he'll call it for a vote at some point.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest gripe was, you know, especially for Mayor Johnson, was it being sort of a last minute top down decision, right? When it was the snap curfew.
Sure.
He seemed to be more in favor of this option, but I just need them to make a decision at some point. Why the 11th hour change, you think?
I have, your guess is as good as mine. You're going to have Alderperson Hopkins on to ask him personally.
Oh, boy. So we're going to get back to City Hall in just a bit, Courtney. I want to pivot now to the James Beard Awards. And for those who don't know, this is basically, they call it what, the food version of the Oscars?
Oscars of the food world, that's right.
Oscars of the food world. Apparently, we now know who this year's semifinalists are. how's Chicago doing?
That's right. They really sort of like drag out the process here. We get semifinalists, then we get finalists, then we get the winners. So yesterday we got the semifinalists for this year. There are 23 Chicago semifinalists. That's one more than we had last year for those who are keeping score at home. But a good showing for the city's food scene, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Your faves of the bunch?
We've got a couple of semifinalists in the outstanding restaurant category. So this is nationwide, and this is really one of the big honors of the night. And the two Chicago semifinalists in that category are El Ideas. This is that American cuisine restaurant on the near west side from Chef Philip Foss. Mm-hmm. And then Kasama, a perennial favorite in the award scene.
Let's talk about that for a second. I mean, is there any surprise at this point that Kasama ends up on a James Beard list?
Yeah. Yeah, this is the Ukrainian Village Filipino restaurant. Mm-hmm. For those who don't know, it was the first Filipino restaurant in the country to win a Michelin star. It just recently got upgraded to 2 Michelin stars, so definitely a darling of the food world, and they've got another nod here this year.
They've got yet another nod. I've seen lots of great names here on the list. It looks like Daisy's is on for outstanding hospitality. So many categories too, right?
Yeah. Lots of representation.
I love the representation for chefs too, and bakers, all very specific.
We've got a couple nominees in the outstanding chef category. That's Diana Davila of Mita Kaya in mm-hmm. Logan Square. That's a great spot. We've talked to her here at WBZ several times. And
yes.
Then Zachary Engel of Galit in Lincoln Park is also a semifinalist in that outstanding chef category.
This best new restaurant, Nadu and Nick and Juniors. I mean, Lisa, have you tried anything from this list of semifinalists?
No.
The look on your face was telling me no.
You know, I think I assume if it's a really like big deal restaurant, it's going to be out of my pay grade.
Ah.
And I just don't even think about looking into it. So I'm looking forward to your segment on possible deals and whatever's coming up. Restaurant Week is always kind of fun to kind of peek into.
We are talking about Restaurant Week later in the program.
I tell you, money is tight, my friends. So, you know, when I want to splash out on a good dinner, I want to plan ahead. Mm-hmm. I want to really know what I'm getting. You know, it's kind of a big deal for me.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, Courtney, I mean, as someone who pays close attention to this world, I mean, how do you see it? I mean, is there some truth to what Lisa said? Is it a higher price point typically on these lists?
Yeah, sometimes. I will say sort of in recent years, the Beards Committee has sort of shifted from, you know, sort of just rewarding sort of downtown, fine dining, white tablecloth type places that we think of mm-hmm. to really recognizing a lot of neighborhood restaurants. Like Mito Kaya is right in Logan Square. And, you know, you can get in. It's not a place you need a reservation months and months in advance.
Fabulous.
And you can go and you can order a few dishes and sort of have a more affordable meal there. So it is sort of a mix. Some of them, certainly, these tasting menus are very expensive, but some are a little bit more approachable.
Right. And like I said, I'm assuming here, you know, yeah, I'm not 100%. Actually looking into the prices.
But guess what? You weren't wrong.
And okay. An assumption that a lot of people share.
Sure, you weren't wrong. So the winners will be announced in June at a ceremony,
in
right?
Chicago.
Mid-June.
Right.
And like I said, the James Beard Awards, they're like the Oscars of the food world. But guess what? Wouldn't you know it? The actual Oscar nominations.
Oscars. The Oscars of the Oscars.
They were just announced, within the last hour?
Yeah, this morning.
Mm-hmm. My immediate reaction is, yay, Sinners.
Yeah.
Lots of nominees.
Loved that movie.
So good. There, you know, there's a lot on the list I would love to see.
Yeah.
So
what do you want to see? Is there one that comes
you're putting me on the spot. Train Dreams is something I've heard a lot about that I really want to see. So
okay, our engineer Ethan he's
jumping up and down,
fist pumped the air,
jumping up and down. So anything on the list, I would be happy to see.
Yeah. I saw Marty Supreme and I really liked it.
I've heard good things.
Really
I've
fun
not
things.
Seen it. Didn't it come out like 5 minutes ago?
Yeah.
That's like the one movie I've seen on the list this year. I'm behind.
Who knew Ping Pong could be like a really great movie? We didn't. No.
How did you make the Oscar noms so quickly? Anyway.
Just zipped right in there.
Back to Chicago City Council. Yesterday, Lisa, it approved a ban on some hemp products.
Yeah, just certain hemp products. The alders who passed this said this was a kind of an effort to crack down on bad actors. So it would ban things like sale of hemp outside of a dispensary. There are some exceptions like CBD drinks that you're seeing a lot of around town right now.
Okay.
Like lotions. Mayor Johnson, he doesn't want any outright you know, total ban because some people use them for health issues. And he says, we just don't have the manpower to enforce this. He also doesn't want it to be a problem for small independent businesses, right? You know, so it would be tough. But he doesn't know if he's going to veto this or not.
Mm. We'll Any other stories that you're watching out for today?
Well, you know, Courtney, you mentioned the Congress Theater, which I walk past on a fairly regular basis. So that's an interesting story I'm looking at. But also there was a whistleblower memo that the Associated Press was reporting about this morning about advising Immigration Customs Enforcement officers to use force to go into residences based on like a narrow administrative warrant. So this really sounds, you know, kind of sketchy to me. Yeah. Immigrant advocates in Chicago also already weighing in on that. I want to hear more about what they have to say because, you know, ICE is coming back later and you know, soon.
Their work is not done.
Nope.
According to them. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, Courtney, earlier this week, it was announced that Chicago would host a month-long jazz celebration. What do you got here? What can you tell us?
Yeah, this is pretty exciting. Some music greats and elected officials announced more details this week for the UNESCO International Jazz Day in April. Mm-hmm. And it's called Jazz Day, but really it's going to bring, like you said, a whole month's worth of programming to town. And then it culminates in this big global concert on April 30th at Lyric Opera. So this really is like the preeminent global celebration of jazz. And as we know, Chicago has so much jazz history.
Yes.
So
this is exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting.
I am definitely checking this out. And, you know, as we were talking about earlier, the James Beard finalists and later this hour, as I mentioned, we are getting into Chicago Restaurant Week. It starts tomorrow. So, yeah, I'll be interested in definitely talking deals. You know, we just talked about some of the pricier restaurants. Let's talk about some of the places a lot of us can afford. But what are you going to check out?
Yeah, there's more than 500 restaurants on the list.
So many.
What do you have
time to check out?
Yeah. I like Lulu Cafe in Logan. It's a great place to go have some breakfast. Virtue in Hyde Park, American Southern food. That might taste good
it's in the chilly weather.
Yeah, exactly. I love Maxwell's Trading and West Loop. Have had several good meals there. So, yeah, this is through February 8th, and there are lots of options.
Lots of options. WBEZ's Courtney Kippers and Lisa Lavis.
This episode of In the Loop was produced by me, Brooke Miller. It was edited by Ethan Schwab. Sasha Ann Simons is our host. For a full archive of the show, head over to wbez.org/in the loop. Thanks for listening.